This program is intended for mature audiences only.
I don't think I've ever liked you as much as I first had. But I think we've done real-time relating. You know, I just coined that expression, real-time relating. Actually, no, it's not. It's just that we've really related to each other. Like, I just think it's so easy for two people to be friends, for women to be friends, but add one challenging thing to it, and that's what really tests your friendship.
That was Nicole Halpern, and she's talking about me. We've had a very intense, very dramatic, on-again, off-again friendship for 3 years. We live together, we work pretty closely together, and we've liked and dated the same men. You can only imagine. For a while, we assumed it was the men who stood between us, but we've since learned that pretty much anything can get in the way. We go in and out of friendship faster than most people can, or care, to keep up. In the last episode, I told my side of the story, and okay, so I'll admit it, I didn't tell Nicole about the episode until the day I turned it in. Luckily, even though we were barely speaking, she wasn't too mad. She even laughed while listening. And then she said she wanted to tell her side. I was curious. I've always wondered what she really thinks. And I knew that if recorded, she'd tell the truth. From One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco, we bring you A Taste of Sex, reality audio about life in an orgasm-based community. This week, part two of Friendship, the Judy and Nicole Halpern Show. I'm Judy Silber. Tune in and turn on.
So the pattern is you'll start off and there's like this tenuousness in a way. And both of you are like mildly shocked that you're getting along and we're going along and we're going along. And then we get to that liftoff point where people start going at their normal frequencies. And Halpern will speed up and she'll start like pointing at people and she'll start having ideas. And, oh, can I just say one thing? And she'll go off on that track, and then you'll want to catch up with her, and it's like energetically people can feel you screaming without words, like, you're leaving me behind, and Halpern's just like off at the races, and she has her ideas, and she doesn't see anyone else around her. She's just like talking, and she's just like in flow, and there you are to be like, no, I don't agree, I don't think so, and you'll try it once, and I've noticed that your first try has softened recently, but it doesn't work. It doesn't ever work. It doesn't ever slow her down. She either completely shuts off and like doesn't want to fight with you, or she just keeps going and ignores you, which drives you insane. So then you amp up, like, no, I really don't think such and such. I really think we ought to, you're not listening to me. And then she'll like take a breath and she'll get impatient. And she'll be like, she'll try and pretend like she's listening to you, but she's so pissed at you and she won't let it out. So then you've got this disconnect that's even further from each other. So then you're usually down, but still kind of open and still kind of simmering. And she's either kind of checked out and looks like she's fine, but she's actually not. Or she's still in it and her face gets really red. And then there's often a moment where I'm like checked out because I can't take the intensity anymore. And then the two of you find some way to either amp up the sensation and like keep going at it until you get to a certain level, or you actually find a way to be friends again. And I'm totally amazed.
When I'm relating to Judy, when I'm in conversation with her, a lot of our relating is actually based on the relationship that I have with my brother. That Judy plays kind of like the bad child, and I'm like the good child. Like, I'm the one who's always trying to be like sweet and nice, and she's kind of like the, what is it, like the rebel rouser? Like, she's the one at meetings, like, no, she doesn't like the way that that came out, or what someone's talking about, or our decisions going into the future. And I'm the one who's like, okay, how can I surrender? How can I get into agreement with what's going on here? And so a lot of what I've actually learned through Judy, and this was one of the things I learned when we were dating the same man, was that the part of me that always wanted to keep down the angry side and the fighting side and kind of like the messy side, that I could be loved there. That's been really valuable to me. Like, that someone, whether it's a man or maybe it's the people around me, that I could still be loved even when I'm not trying to be like the perfect person, child, woman, etc.
Do you think that our relationship, though, is, it's more intense even than a lot of the other, for me, it's more intense than the other relationships I have.
Right. I think it's more intense than the other relationships I have here, because we both started coming to One Taste around the same time. Although you came first, I moved in first, and I took the opening course first. Did I tell you I was first at probably something else too? I love it when my competitive side comes out. So I think I'm curious about, for other men and women here who came in at the same time, came to the center around the same time, if they also have similar relationships too. Maybe, maybe not. And we are both Sagittarius. I do always have special relationships with Sagittarius, so I'm wondering if that's part of it. And Judy and I are actually one of the two women who've been here the longest, although I moved in first, which means I've been here the longest, although Patrina's been here longer than me. And so what you're probably catching on to is my desire to always be the first and the best. And Judy's often telling me that I'm, what is it, the word that you use? You always say that I'm not snobby, it's condescending towards you, or it's something about condescending. And so truth be told, I am condescending, and I do have judgments. So two women can be the best of friends and have a great relationship and have a lot of fun with one another, and then put a man in the middle of it that both women like, and that's when you'll see the true colors of two women relating to each other. And that's what happened with Judy and I. We were friends, and we would share with each other a lot of what was going on in our lives. And then suddenly I wound up sharing a room with a man that she had a crush on, and actually someone that I had a crush on for a while but was too scared to admit it. And she suddenly wound up sharing a room with my ex-boyfriend. And suddenly the four of us are living in a community house, and we have to be friends or enemies. And that actually was when Judy and I really started relating to each other.
Like, I've always been really curious, like, how you saw things. Because like, I had my story going on, and then I wanted to know, like, what was your story in terms of, like, why we stopped talking?
So, okay, I think the reason why we stopped talking was because I knew you were jealous of me sharing a room with Rob, and I didn't know what to do about that. It was really uncomfortable for me, because I knew you had a crush on him. Unfortunately, I had a crush on him too. So suddenly it's two people who have a crush on the same man, and they're both living in the same house with him. And I just didn't know what to do. I remember one morning being in the kitchen and just feeling awkward. Like, it was just so awkward, and I knew how much you liked him. And I always felt, I always actually felt that you were a little, okay, I always felt that you were a little selfish, because it was almost like, well, since you liked him, you had the rights to him. And there were various points where I had actually liked him too, and you never really, but I didn't communicate it, because it was so hard for me to communicate my desires for a man back then, because I was so scared to be hurt, to be that vulnerable. And so I wish that you had also seen that I had liked him too.
You've been listening to A Taste of Sex. We'll be back after this short break.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, erotic poetry reading, a companion program to Life in an Orgasm-Based Community. It's open mic night at One Taste San Francisco, a weekly audio program on personallifemedia.com.
This is A Taste of Sex, reality audio about life in an orgasm-based community.
What about, like, with Rob? Like, how did you see that whole scenario? Like, when we were both with Rob, like I had my motivations for staying in it, and I wonder what yours were.
So it was interesting, because with Rob, Rob and I had dated before, and then we broke up, and then suddenly he started being the person who I had always wanted him to be. And it felt really good, because we had gone through a long period of time where he wasn't the person I wanted him to be. And I mean, I remember, like, I would just come home at the end of the day and he would just be mean. And now suddenly it was like he was so sweet to me. And it felt like he was saying all the things that I wanted him to say. But then, of course, he was saying all the things that I wanted him to say, but was also saying similar things to you. So it was just so fucked up. Like, it was so messed up. I mean, I didn't know. It was so confronting for my ego. Like, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it, because up until that time, I had... so much of how I valued myself was on how others perceived me and how men liked me. And then suddenly there's this man who's liking two women at the same time. And so it just totally pissed me off. Oh God, I hated you. I should get out some of my journals. I hated you. I hated you because it was so crushing to my ego that someone could like two people at the same time. It was so, oh, and then, you know, you'd be angry and upset and moody and emotional. And that's not to say that I wasn't too. There was just a certain way that you were that I just didn't understand how anyone could like you during that time. And he did. And so it's just like, that's so fucked up. I mean, you can only imagine, like, you can only imagine when we're dating the same man. And this is how crazy it would get, is I would have judgments about her hands and that they were too small. And I might add that Judy is actually the only woman who I've ever hit. I don't know if this is going to have to be edited out, but I actually, one night, I was sitting on a bed with her and this man, Rob, who we both liked, and I actually hit her in the stomach. That's right. I hit her in the stomach. I've never hit someone before, and I do not suggest that people hit other people. I strongly condone that, and I hit her in the stomach.
So when have you liked me?
yeah, there's some times where I still don't like you. And there's some times that I like you. And I think that if anyone chose to live and work with any one person or group of people in their lives, I think that they would have similar experiences as well of liking and hating people. I mean, I don't think there's anyone who I just always like who or don't like who I am around so often. I think it's just the nature of relating. You know, it really would be fun for people to experiment with this in their own lives. You know, have one of your good friends stay over for a week and just agree to talk through everything, to fight through everything, to not run away from it, and then see how it changes your life.
How do you feel when people say that we're like a married couple?
Oh God, I mean, in some ways we are. The way we fight, like Judy can say, she can just say one thing and I just start hating her for it, and I don't even understand what happens. I'll have a suggestion about something. She'll have a suggestion about something. And it's different. And we'll just start fighting. Whereas I'll have a suggestion with someone about something else. I'll have a suggestion about something. And I'll voice it to another person. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay. Or they're like, no, I don't think so. But there's this way that she gets all tight wound and stuff that I'm just like, why can't she just listen to a suggestion? And if it doesn't come through, it doesn't come through. But there's this way that it's like, no. I've never heard someone who's as big as a no as Judy Silber is.
What do you like about me?
No, I don't feel like answering that question. No. I think the most fun we've ever had is when this is actually really fun. It was one night where I decided to dress up as Judy. So I became Judy 2. And she then decided to dress up as me. And I kept on saying no to her. And it was so fun to play her back to her. Like, for anyone out there who wants to totally mess with, can I say fuck with the people in their lives, give them exactly what they give to you and then see what shows up. But I will say I was really impressed. She did a really good job of playing me, of imitating me, and she did a really good job. Like, she's holding my phone all the time, and just the way, there's a certain way that she was like playing someone who was like turned on that was really funny in her imitating me.
So what do you like about me?
No. Oh, I'll tell you what. What do I like about you? Well, I do think that you have more of a, you have a developed slow practice. Like, there's a way that you can pay attention to really minute details. It's really impressive. What else do I like about you? I'm sorry, I've spent so much time hating you. It's kind of hard in this moment to come up with things I like about you. So hold on a second. Hold on. wait, it's still taking longer than one would think it should. Oh, well, you really care about this work. That's evident. You really care about the work that we do at One Taste. And wow, I'm really having resistance to this question because I'm yawning right now. I'm going to need another minute to think. So you could come back to me with another question. I used to have relationships with people that they would do something what I deemed as wrong, and then I would just cut them off from my life. And so there's a string of people that I've cut off from my life. And it's really because I was always afraid to fight with someone, to really fight with someone, that had me just want to run away from them. And so with Judy, I've now know what it's like to fight with someone and then be friends with them afterwards. And I never had that experience to really be friends with them afterwards. And I never had that experience before I met Judy and came to One Taste. And now when I have friendships with people and I start not getting along with them around something, instead of starting to back away, I know now that there is another side to it. And because of it, I'm not as scared in my relationships with people as I once was. I know that there'll be different twists and turns and ups and downs, and it's almost like a game of chutes and ladder. But that it is possible to still be friends with them even when you disagree about different principles, perspectives, etc. And so it's because of Judy Silber that I feel more free and don't feel scared in my relationships with other people, whether it is someone who I'm dating or it is someone who's a friend of mine as well. And that's a really valuable piece to have, to just know. There's like a knowingness now that I can have friendships however I want them. But I have to be willing to do the work. And I think both of us have really done the work in this relationship. And so I'm deeply, deeply appreciative to Judy for to be the first person who really partnered with me, you could say, in how to have relationships in this way, how to have true friendships in this way.
Thank you for listening to A Taste of Sex. For a transcript of this show, you can find us on the web at personallifemedia.com. For more information about One Taste, including lectures and workshops in San Francisco and New York, check us out at onetaste.us. Music on this episode was composed and performed by Aharon Bolsta. I'm Judy Silber. Tune in and turn on.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.